Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you two, not in a creepy way.
Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the 2019 Venezuelan Spanish language film, The Lake Vampire, directed by Carl Zeitelman.
Maybe the first Venezuelan movie I've ever seen.
Me too. And it's available on Amazon Prime, at least in America. And
yeah, kudos to you, by the way, for picking such an accessible film to talk about.
Yeah, crazy, huh?
We finally picked one that is available streaming, and it's a foreign language film with a completely impenetrable plot.
Oh, I don't know about that. We'll talk about that.
But it is better than my recent strategy for picking stuff, which is going through my list alphabetically and figuring out which movies I haven't talked about in the past 5 years that I wanted to.
Oh.
Now we got Brotherhood of the Wolf, Beyond the Lights, and in a few weeks, you and I are going to be doing Bodied.
Sweet. How long is this list if we're only on the Bs? That's great.
Hundreds.
Excellent. So, it's, again, Spanish language movie. It's kind of, I suppose it could be considered like a period piece. Takes place in several different time periods. And What did you think?
I struggled to watch it because it's not a movie I could watch like right before I went to bed. Like, it's not a movie I could fall asleep to because I had to read it.
True.
Which doesn't bother me. I love subtitles. So I watched it over several days in fits and starts, and I had to back up a lot because I did not completely understand what was happening. I kept thinking I'd missed something. I hadn't. Yeah, so it wasn't, I would not describe it as a fun experience to watch, but there's something about it that I really dug. I don't know if it was the mood or the creepiness. I would not call this a horror movie. Maybe a psychological thriller with some supernatural stuff thrown in, maybe. But yeah, it turns out I think I liked it, but I couldn't tell you why. And I don't think I would recommend it to anybody.
You know, so when I watched it, I think I was just going through Amazon Prime looking for vampire movies or something. And I saw it. I'm like, well, this is interesting. Let's see what happens here. And I had no idea what I was getting into because I thought it was going to be, you know, a regular old vampire movie. Like I watched the movie Blood Vessel a couple nights ago from Shudder. And it is, it's about these shipwrecked survivors on a lifeboat from a ship that was sunk by a U-boat in the end times of World War II. And they're several days in the water and they're getting, you know, progressively more worried about being lost forever. And then a big ship comes into view and it turns out it's a big Nazi warship But they figured, hey, you know, with, you know, whatever, would rather be prisoners of war than dead. So they try to hail the ship, and it's not, that's not successful. So they manage to get aboard the ship, and the ship is abandoned, and they discover it's got vampires in it, and this whole Nazi occult thing. And the characters are straight out of Central Casting. Like, there's an Australian guy, there's a guy from Brooklyn, there's a black guy, there's an English woman who's a nurse, there's an English guy who's sort of snivelly and maybe a spy. There's also a German guy. A Russian guy. So it's all, again, and it's cheesy, and the vampire effects are just a little too much, but it was fun. I mean, I liked it. I enjoyed it, but it was goofy. Mm-hmm. This is none of that.
Nope.
To me, this was like this could have been a season of True Detective.
Yeah.
I mean, it had that kind of feel about it. Because the plot, and again, I don't have very many notes because there is no plot synopsis on this anywhere.
Did you ever watch True Detective season 3, by the way?
No. Uh-uh. I never got through season 2, even though I know you liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is season 3 worthwhile?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll jump back on board. Yeah, so we have this self-proclaimed cult author, Ernesto Navarro, who's played by Socrates Serrano. He is...
he writes fictional accounts, though, right?
I think so, yes. Yes. And he's not super successful. I mean, he's a published author, but like the example is that he goes to the bookstore for a book signing and no one shows up. Well, one person shows up. Seen in a blurry kind of camera shot. And his girlfriend has kicked him out. And so he's living in a little...
His wife, sorry.
And he's living like in a little apartment, and his girlfriend shows up and he's not very nice to her. You kind of expect her, maybe she's going to get captured by the vampire later. She does not. But he ends up finding out. Well, actually, the first thing we see is this retired detective, Jeremias Morales, played by Miguel Angel Landa. And he's got these audio cassettes of interviews about the Lake Vampire back when he handled the Lake Vampire case however many years ago. So. The guy who he signed, Ernesto signed the book of, that page of his book was found with like a dead, ritually killed body. And that's where he ends up like finding out about this other detective. And then it becomes he's interviewing the detective about the old case. And then it flashes back.
Because he's looking for an idea for his next book.
Yes.
Because he is, he has nothing.
Yeah.
He's just trying to find something that will capture the imagination of people so he can make a living. And he stumbles across this crime, this sort of a culty kind of crime that he thinks would sell a lot of books.
Yeah. And that's where he's interviewing this detective about the killer, Zacharias Ortega, who was the Lake Vampire back like 30 years earlier or something. And then we have this whole, like half of the movie is in like 1970s or whatever, or 80s in Venezuela. And you've got, so the detective as a younger man, and he ends up like sort of teaming up with a journalist, and they investigate and finally capture this guy who is possibly a vampire. And
he drinks blood.
Yeah, he drinks blood. Yeah. And then it goes back and talks about how there was a vampire before him that along the way of this movie, giving away a little bit, we'll give it all away here briefly in a couple minutes, but it's sort of like a vampire curse that is just given down from one person to another. And like, I like the atmosphere of it. I like the fact that you were given little pieces in little bits that took you along. And I thought that the way they explained the whole, I think the ending, they really swung for the fences on the ending. I love the last shot of this whole movie.
Yes.
I mean, it really is kind of fun. But yeah, I don't know. I like this. I mean, everything, it's the way I watched it was like, I watch a lot of foreign horror movies that I kind of just sort of go along for the ride, because I just accept that anything I don't quite understand is probably a cultural thing. Like, maybe some of this really resonates with people in Venezuela.
Maybe. I'm still trying to wrap my head around what actually happened. Okay. So they stumble across this dude, the first guy, Ortega, the lake vampire, who's this old guy who murders people and drinks their blood.
Yes.
Also, it turns out to be a wife beater. So that's how we know he's truly evil.
Yeah.
And when they try and capture him, even though he's old, he seems super strong. So maybe supernatural, maybe not. But they get him and he goes to jail. And then maybe gets out of jail.
No, he hung himself in jail.
Okay, so they were chasing some other dude later who they thought might have been him, right?
Yes, that's where the most I don't know, like, scary vampire I've seen in a long time, the killer priest.
Yeah.
That guy is stylish.
Yeah. So then later, after he thinks he's put this insane blood drinking dude away in jail, dies in jail, there's some other person now who is dressing as a priest and abducting children and drinking their blood.
Yes.
And for some reason he thinks it might be Ortega, but turns out not to be, I guess. And he never really captures him, right?
No, he does, because he goes to the church and he basically, Ortega kind of gives himself up.
But it's not Ortega, right?
Well, no. It's the priest guy.
Mm-hmm. But he is claiming to be kind of all of these people, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because at one point, there's another, Ramon Baroness guy, maybe, who was like three generations before. He explains that, no, maybe it was the priest guy that explains that, yeah, he's everybody. He's Homer. He's everybody. He's nobody.
He's Homer. He's the lake vampire. He's the owl. He's Ramon Perez.
Oh, yes. The owl is the priest, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really unclear if, like, it seems like there's something that is getting passed on from one vampire down to another, like as a generational thing. And they're kind of all different creatures, but somehow embodying the same spirit a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I don't know. They didn't really get into it enough for me to say, okay, well, it's just one entity that shares, that like goes from body to body. It could just be like a virus that passes between people. Not a virus, but like more of a supernatural thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're super religious, then you could speak intelligently about how, like, the Holy Trinity, they're all three different, but all three the same, right?
Yeah. Well, and they kind of bring some of that into the whole the Catholic thing about when they talk about drinking blood, how eating flesh and drinking blood is done every week in your church.
That's Marone Perez's moment when they try and arrest him for drinking blood. So there's some of that element. Like, these are all different people, but something about them is still the same.
Yeah.
And it could just be a belief system, right? Where
sure.
one vampire kind of passes down the practice to the next one and says, "You are all of us now." And they actually believe it.
Yeah.
And then they murder a notebook full of people and then pass it down to the next person.
Okay. So the owl, or was it the vamp, was it Ortega, who, like, vampire, I guess, who gave his book to Detective Morales and said, "You're the last name in this book. Here's my book. There's one spot at the end. Put your name in it when you're ready." Because the detective at the end of the story hangs himself after kind of throwing the police off the scent that it could be like a similar serial killing. Like, it's all part of one thing. Because he keeps getting pulled back as an expert on, like, occult cult killings. Satanic killings, something like that. Yeah, I mean, again, they don't really... And, like... the dog,
mm-hmm.
like the dog is very interesting. It's like, I guess I liked it because they didn't fill in a lot of these blanks. Like, they didn't give you a full layout, the full pantheon of what's going on here. The whole cosmology of this vampire universe. You kind of had to guess and follow along because our hero in the story ends up, spoiler, it's like fucking, it's like the best tequila commercial in the world at the end where he's just sitting in a chair and they pan into him as he, and with the dog next to him as he's the next vampire guy. And he's got a black book on his own.
It's the same dog that is supposed to be the companion of all of these different vampires, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a signal that he has now become the next vampire. Against his will, presumably.
Yeah, because he was forced to drink the blood.
Mm-hmm. His own blood, right?
Yeah. I think the owl drank his blood. No, not the owl. Sorry. We missed one more step here. It turns out that the modern recipient of this gift is the reporter from the old days who is now grown up. And or not, I mean, kind of. And you get the impression that, okay, so everybody wants to be immortal until they realize that that's not all it's cracked up to be. So he seems plenty happy to let this guy have the curse and he'll go on his way or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy, the owl guy, who Morales tracks down, the priest guy in the church, and basically says, "You have to kill me and then bury me within 3 days or I'll come back." And Morales claims not to believe this to be true, but the idea of what if means that he actually kills him and buries him.
Yeah. But Morales, the detective, he never became a vampire, right?
No, he was never
involved in the killings. So why did he hang himself then? Because he didn't want to be a victim of the vampire?
Maybe because it was all true and he was trying to avoid that. Or he didn't want to believe that it was true. And yeah, maybe he didn't want to be a victim of it. Or maybe he thought he would, I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess he was handed the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
This sort of, I don't know, it's a combination, just ledger of names, but in the Necronomicon flesh-covered book.
Yes. Very sinister-looking ledger.
Yeah. that was found in the you know, in a fire in the middle of a like stone satanic circle, whatever, in the desert. Yeah. So again, I don't think I understood it either, but I love the atmosphere. And I didn't know where it was going, and I appreciated that. And I thought that a lot of the choices they made, like the Ramon Perez guy, or Berenice, or whatever his name was, he had a certain style to him. Not nearly as over the top as like the Vampire Lestat sort of thing, but you know, getting up there. And then, of course, the badass owl priest guy had a great style going. He looked like, you know, the two-string guitarist from the President of the United States with the black trench coat and sunglasses. And then, like I said, the iconic last scene of our hero now, who is suddenly, he's suddenly using more product in his hair, and he looks very refined.
He is downright dapper.
Oh, he's,
after
he's,
looking like a schlub for the whole movie.
Yeah, but here's the one thing that I was like, what are we talking about? When somehow it's all connected to this dark web internet 4chan vampire group.
Yeah, it's like a snuff video.
Yeah, collecting group. Like tape traders, yeah, but of snuff films.
Yeah. So, yeah, again, it's unclear. Do these vampires have followers? Who knows?
You know what this also could have been, and I'm glad it wasn't, but if they just threw in one scene with Doug Bradley at the end, this could be a Hellraiser movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who knows, yeah. Might still be.
Yeah. I liked it. When it was over, it was one of those ponderers, but the mood was good. It was compelling. It kept my interest all the way through. I really appreciated the fact that not only did I not know what was going on, it's impossible to find out what's going on, even if you try.
You mean like online?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. That's why I didn't have a really good plot synopsis that I could talk beat for beat, because the one does not exist, and I did not have time to watch the movie a second time in full and jot down enough notes.
Yeah. So, I mean, so there's, you know, currently, I'm sure someday there will be, but currently there's no resource to either confirm or debunk any ideas you might have about this movie. And it's well made.
Oh, yeah.
And it's super creepy. But it is so hard to describe it. Like, even I wouldn't recommend this to people, because it seems like it would only scratch such a very specific type of itch that you never know if people are gonna really get something out of it or not. But I enjoyed it. But even if I did want to recommend it, I don't know how I could, other than saying, it's a movie that you have to experience. It's not going to make you feel big emotions.
No, it's, and the plot,
it'll make you scratch your head a bit.
Yeah. And it's funny, because I don't particularly, I don't know, Jason will call me out, because again, like period pieces, I hate him except when I don't. Like, I'm not a big fan of haunted house movies necessarily, because mostly haunted house movies are all atmosphere and a couple jump scares and no real payoff. And I'm not scared by ghosts. So, you know, it's just one of those things. And yet, I mean, there are haunted house movies that are sort of fun. Like, I watched The Haunting, the 1960s, I think, version of The Haunting of Hill House. But it's got lots of atmosphere. And so if you like atmosphere, I think this is a great movie. And I love this atmosphere, like I said. And I think it went along pretty cool. And it had lots of like iconography or, I don't know. I can't think of my words today. Like the things like the dog and the thing, like just the fact that, and this is where Jason would be pissed off, but at one point he hits the dog with the car. And that was pretty great, actually.
Did he actually hit the dog? It seemed like the dog like dropped.
Well, yeah, like maybe somebody threw the dog on his windshield.
Yeah.
And then he slammed on his brakes, having a crashed windshield, and gets out, and the dog is laying down. And the dog does one of those Train to Busan deer moves and gets up. And the guy's like, what the? And then, of course, that's where the vampire guy gets him. But yeah, I mean, all of that works pretty well. It's a little bit like ham-fisted with the church talk in the middle, where they're literally, you know, with that Ramon Berenice guy. But you know, again, cultural.
That dog scene is actually the perfect example of, I think, why this movie works, because every little thing about it is just a little bit off. So, you know, the hitting an animal in the middle of the night on an abandoned road, seen it a million times. In this movie, he hits something, but it doesn't quite make sense, because the dog out of nowhere crashes into his windshield.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And it's really disorienting. You don't really have time to try and piece together what the fuck actually just happened. Cause he didn't hit it like head on with the grill of his car.
No.
The dog flew out of nowhere onto his crashed into his windshield at high speed. And then ended up being fine, which, I mean, that part's creepy. But yeah, I mean, it's just everything about this movie is off just a little bit. Like the first time you see the lake vampire, he's this old dude, big hair, bushy beard, completely nude.
Yes. And eating somebody or drinking the blood of somebody recently killed.
Yes. Yeah. In a manner that is just icky. I haven't seen something that icky since like Kronos.
God. Ugh.
But yeah, and everything is just off enough to make you uncomfortable while watching it. See, you have to watch a fight scene with this old naked dude who seems to be super strong, and he's like covered in blood from like his mouth. And throughout the whole movie, it's everything is just off enough to make you uncomfortable. Like the priest grabbing the kid and drinking the kid's blood. They don't linger on that scene, but he's got such weird proportions to his body.
Yes.
That it's like one of those AI photos where the more you look at it, the less it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, really adds to the unsettling atmosphere in this movie in a way that's really hard to articulate.
Well, and I think maybe one of the reasons why it may be hard to recommend is that nothing is entirely satisfying, or nothing is explained in an entirely satisfactory way. You're being kind of pushed along, which is great. Like mm-hmm. I said, I was fine, but the story there's never like one through narrative, and the pieces never fall into place. Like in maybe a lesser movie, you would have like a scene at the end where you saw like flashbacks to all these little different things, but they didn't draw any pictures for the audience in this movie like that.
Yeah, but it's not in a way that like makes audience work at it, because there aren't answers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There aren't any satisfactory answers. And I guess a lot of this is like, well, nobody really believes this, right? Like everybody is sort of saying the same thing. It's like, well, you know, none of us believe this, but there are being people killed. Somebody's doing it. surely it can't be a real vampire. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was worthy to have you look at.
I'm glad I did. I would never have watched this otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, again, a very pleasant surprise. But yeah, I don't think I'll ever need to watch it again. Although I will be interested to see what this guy does otherwise.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's definitely on my radar now.
Yeah. So, So I think that's, again, 30 minutes in, I think, and probably slightly less than 30 minutes for some little editing. Any housekeeping?
I had a wild weekend out in Willow.
Oh, yeah. You gotta let us know.
It was kind of nuts. We had almost 3 feet in one day.
That's crazy.
After, like, not having a little bit, it got real cold out there really quickly. So the lake is already completely frozen over. But there's no snow on it, so it's just ice. So it was fun. So we went up, and on Saturday we spent quite a bit of time out on the lake. The girls got their ice skates out. And since there's no snow, I mean, you could get like it froze so quickly. It's super smooth. I mean, it has like big sort of tectonic type seams in the ice.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's super smooth. You could even see air bubbles that had frozen.
Wow.
In the ice. So you could get like a really good running start and then just kind of do the slide on your feet thing for a long time. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And the girls actually, because they could, freaked me out. They walked all the way around like the perimeter of the ice on the lake. Didn't know they were going to do that. But we hadn't heard from them for a while, and we were kind of trying to look out the back deck and see where they were. And they were all the way across on the other side of the lake, just kind of walking along. And, so we actually rang the like dinner bell that mom got us.
Oh.
And, got their attention and called them back, and we're sort of trying to yell at them from across the lake. Wanted them to, go back the way they came, but then instead they came straight across the lake, which freaked me out because I didn't know how solid the lake was in the middle.
Yeah.
Turned out it was fine, but it was a tense few minutes as they just came straight across the deepest part of the lake.
Hmm.
We had already made them watch a couple of videos about how to get yourself out of a hole in the ice.
Yeah, no, good for you. Because did you have a plan?
We did have a plan.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked to them about what they're supposed to do. And but still, you know, once they get in there, they're going to panic and not do anything you told them to do anyway.
Yeah. Do you have a plan for you guys?
To go get them, you mean? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. And that. So this is all before snow.
Yeah, before snow. And then later that day, it started to snow a little bit. But it was like the really kind of like thin, wispy snow.
Mm-hmm.
And it would look like that as we went to bed. Then we woke up and we were buried. We were just completely buried in snow. I went out because I'm sure you visited us in the winter at some point, right?
No.
Out there? No? Oh, well, okay. So last year, we were not prepared. Again, we got dumped on really heavy at one point. And the way our house is built, I don't know if you remember, right in front of our door, the three different roof angles all come together.
Yeah, okay.
Which is great if the snow stays on the roof. But if it's wet and heavy enough that it slides off the roof, it just creates this huge pile right in the doorway. And there's also a roof line that goes along the walkway, along the garage when you're walking into the house. Snow dumps there too. And we did not get ahead of that last year. So we spent all winter with just like this little narrow strip of walkable, a walkable path right next to the house that you kind of have to like, kind of had to teeter totter your way past if you didn't want to go going through the garage. So we were prepared this time. We have a snowblower out there now. We knew exactly what we needed to do to keep the walkways passable. So we were ready. We had the snow melt. And I went out there and I stepped in it. And it was past my knee already. And it was still snowing. So I spent a couple hours just digging that part out and snow blowing some paths in the front and down the back. And it just kept going. And then by the early afternoon, it was up past my knee, like almost halfway to my hip. And I realized this was Sunday now. I realized we are not driving. We're not going to make it out of my driveway until it's plowed. So I called our plow guy and they were so backed up. The main roads weren't even cleared yet. So they were having trouble even getting to people's driveways. We had to hunker down for another night. And it snowed so much that by the time our plow guy got there, while he was doing our driveway, he got stuck.
Yeah.
So he had to get somebody else to come pull him out. So I wasn't even sure I was going to make it back on Monday, but we got out of there by 6, I guess. So we got back pretty late Monday night, and we got back to Anchorage, and it had snowed over the weekend in Anchorage too. But there was such little snow, I was almost insulted.
Oh yeah.
Like what? After experiencing, I was, why bother?
Yeah, it's like 3 or 4 inches maybe.
Yeah. And it was raining today, so that was a bummer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the kids got out in the snow. They loved it. The dog, he's a snow dog, so he had a great time.
Excellent.
And yeah, I feel like we're actually ready for it this year.
Excellent.
So if you ever feel like coming out.
Okay.
Maybe after a vaccine or whenever you feel comfortable.
Oh, no, it's not even that. It's I fucking hate that drive in the wintertime. I don't like going to see my in-laws in the wintertime. Because, part of it is just white knuckle driving out there, and it's not necessarily even warranted. But I don't like winter driving too much.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you a story that will make sure you never come visit us.
Okay.
When we left it... just slightly after 6, so it was already dark, and it was kind of snowing a little bit, so it wasn't foggy, but it was a little hazy.
Yeah.
With the precipitation, and we're driving on these dirt roads, very very dark, very windy, very wooded, and I've been driving for a couple minutes, and super dark. I mean, there's no traffic at that point, late on a Monday night at Willow. And after a while, it occurred to me, like, hey, I can actually turn on my high beams, see it a little bit more. And right out of a movie, as soon as I turned on my high beams, there were two moose, like, right in front of me. They felt impossibly close.
Oh, no.
Like, I don't understand how I didn't see them with my normal lights. So, I had to do a quick stop to make sure we didn't hit them. And it turns out in the surprise, they were actually not as close as they seemed.
Sure.
But, yeah, it was really shocking. As soon as I turned on my high beams, all of a sudden there's these two giant creatures right in the middle of the road that I'm not driving very fast, maybe 30, but...
Oh, that's fast enough to hit a moose, yeah.
At the time. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Supposed to do some damage and really ruin our night. So that was momentarily terrifying.
Well, like today was, I mean, I have a 6-minute drive, and because it had snowed and it was, it snowed and then it froze and then it rained a little bit and then it froze and it was like slushy or whatever. then maybe there had been some sand put down at some point, and maybe a grader had gone through, but not, I don't think so, because it was all super, like, chattery, mm-hmm. like just, like, it, I mean, it was one of those things where you were, like, you know, bumping down the road, and it just wouldn't take much at all to, like, skip you off into the other lane, or suddenly you're sideways. Like,
right.
I don't like that. It's no bueno. But, oh well. It was fine. Things will be fine. So now, you don't have a plow on your riding lawnmower, do you?
I do not.
But
my snowblower has tracks.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. Yeah.
Oh, I also had to snowblow a path to my, this is also something you don't have to worry about, that I'm learning I have to worry about. I had to snowblow a path to my, septic tank pipe, because they were supposed to come out on Tuesday and pump out my septic tank. Yeah. So I appreciate sewer systems.
Yeah. Turns out. I don't know. It's, yeah. That's the advantage of, you know, my driveway is like maybe 2 feet longer than my car is, and two cars wide. So since I park outside because half my garage is full of crap, you know, only have half of a driveway to plow, to shovel anyway. And for the most part, unless it gets crazy, you know, I don't really have to shovel it much at all. Because, you know, you drive over it, you make a little path, yeah. You know.
Packs it down, and then you're not shoveling it anyway.
Exactly. So, we'll see. And, of course, you know, I don't want to, I'm at that age and health where I don't want to have a heart attack, like, shoveling snow by hand. That seems ridiculous. But since I have a postage stamp size driveway, it makes no sense for me to get a snowblower, so,
Yeah, it turns out back surgery is like a get out of jail free card for shoveling snow.
Yeah, yeah, it would be. Absolutely. Ugh. No, thank you. So, yeah. No, so.
No,
yeah.
It's totally worth it. Never have to shovel snow again.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't think I have any. Journey's birthday's tomorrow, which will be fun. We are going to. So her friend Angelica is having a small little birthday party. Journey, if that's you, you need to stop. And Kat, if that's you, I'm coming after you. It's going to be at the Diamond Center Bowling Alley. And I looked on their website, and apparently they're taking it all real seriously, and everybody has to be masked, and they're hosing down all the stuff, and I don't think they even serve food there or whatever. So that takes care of that part of it. Cause like if you went to Center Bowl or something, the potential for transmission would be huge. We'll see. We'll be all masked up. It'll be fine. I was talking to Kelly about it. I'm like, after the governor scared my wife to death with the tsunami warning, it's like, you know.
And a video where it looked like a hostage video.
Yeah, I didn't really see the video. I read the transcript,
he looks like he's speaking against his will.
Holding up a newspaper. So we had to have that thing of like, I don't want to, best worst case scenario, I don't want to get COVID or be exposed and have to do a 2-week quarantine because I went to a kid's birthday party, because that seems like a stupid thing to do. On the other hand, I don't want to ruin a little kid's birthday party by just bailing on something that, if everybody takes the precautions, should be mostly fine.
Right.
So I don't know. Because you guys have explored that territory a little bit, right?
Yeah, we did. We did a birthday party at one of Elizabeth's friends' houses. Mm. I think she invited like two other kids.
Oh, okay.
So there's maybe like five of them total. So yeah, maybe they've been to some small gatherings, but it's such a crapshoot. I mean,
yeah, that's the thing. And again, it's just, even if we there where we take plenty of precautions or whatever, if one person gets it, they will hunt us down, because I'm sure we're gonna have to sign something.
Right.
So, which, you know, again, I have mixed feelings about. On one hand, if you gave me 2 weeks off of work, paid by my non-cashable sick leave, I'd be like, well, that's fine. But I don't want to get sick. And that also means that I have to basically quarantine from everybody. Or we would all have to quarantine together, but not go out of the house.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That becomes exciting. Such is life.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's a brother Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.